Hey, are we back yet?
Yeah, sorry about
that. Oh, that's all right.
I let the music run out. We got talking off air, and I didn't realize the music ran out. Little sloppy, but.
Oh yeah, well, you know, we were just going over some of the old history here at RBN.
We still got Mike here, by the way.
Oh, Mike in Kentucky, you still there?
Yeah. What kind of history are you talking about?
We were just discussing about Stat Miller and.
Old RBN history, all the stuff this place has
I
been
remember
through.
When it was Republic Radio.
Oh, really?
That was back before 90s. I was here. Wow.
And then him and Alex Jones kind of formed a little partnership for a while, and then I don't know what happened. They blew
so
up.
So you've been listening that long, Mike?
Buddy, I've been listening to alternative media since I got all the way through school, and I realized, holy crap, they left out a lot of stuff. Like the 14th. I swear I would come up with a silver dollar or two if somebody would find me my 7th and 8th grade American government book. It was yellow with a fake cloth cover, and they did not print the entire 14th Amendment. I cannot find it. But, you know, I was nerdy enough that I read that, you know, in the late 70s. And when I got all the way through school, you know, I got 2 degrees at the same time, an associate and a 4-year bachelor's of arts. There was, some radio. I got to work, and the only thing I could find was 30 to 60 miles away, so I had a lot of commute time, and you get real tired of that formula, satellite, music, radio, all the stations sound the same. So I started listening to talk radio and then got out an old shortwave and started listening to that, and I was like, I started going to libraries and looking stuff up. And when Pat Choate started showing up with Chuck Carter on For the People, and then all of a sudden he's the second running mate for Ross Perot, and the IRS, and I don't know who all, they destroyed For the People. And I realized then we've got real problems with this country. And then Waco happened, a bunch of stuff happened there in the 90s, and I'm like, holy crap, what is going on, you know? And so I started researching a lot of this, like this, what I'm talking about in Eastern Kentucky now. Hal Rogers and Mitch McConnell, this was typically a lefty, environmental Nazi, you know, tree hugger thing. Well, they want to do a rewilding of, you know, the rugged hillsides and creeks of Eastern Kentucky after they've robbed everybody, a lot of people, of their mining jobs. And so the International Monetary Fund in 1987, I guess it was during the Reagan years, this report called the Brundtland Report. You can look it up, the Brundtland, the Brundtland Report, said that the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank would no longer float any credit or loans to even first world countries, including the United States, unless they put up collateral. And that means these nations mounted a biospheres, the wildlands projects, monuments, stuff like that. But the reason this is expanding, because the government has to come up with some way to fund all the spending spree to buy all these boats, you know, the guns or butter and that kind of stuff. So Take Back Kentucky hired me to be a video editor for they wanted to do a cable access tape that they could float out to Missouri, Arkansas, Illinois, Kentucky, and to put it on cable access. They called it the UN Man in the Biosphere. And if you know who Gatewood Galbraith is, he was a perpetual candidate for governor and secretary of state. He was a big advocate for hemp. And so I produced this for them, and they never did find anybody to mass duplicate it. And I think that I have a reason to believe that these concerned citizens for Kentucky and Take Back Kentucky were infiltrated by agitators, including the Kentucky militia movement, and just caused so much infighting that their efforts were thwarted. And if you look at the 14th Amendment, at the last paragraph, it says you can't question the debt when it comes to suppressing insurrection. So if they can label it a insurrection or a threat to the status quo two-party system, they'll borrow money to get rid of a problem like that, infiltrate, divide, and conquer.
Yeah, and debt. So, debt is an interesting topic. I've been doing research on odious debt, and odious debt's an interesting concept. It's a concept that if a regime accumulates debt illegally,
Abroad, yeah.
With the knowledge of the lender, then that is classified as odious debt. Well, now the debt that we're being accumulated by an administration that is arguably illegitimate. If it is within the knowledge of the lender, which is the Federal Reserve, right? Wouldn't that be couldn't we claim that as odious debt if we ever got the balls to reject this government that's in charge of things right now?
I don't think it's just the Federal Reserve now. You've got BlackRock Financial that holds huge amounts of the debt. It's called bifurcated.
Right, but the Federal Reserve's printing the money.
It's being loaned into circulation.
Right.
Somebody has to buy that debt or else the value plummets. They were laundering a bunch of it through Belgium off market to preserve the value of the treasury notes. I don't know if that's still going on.
You know, I know so little about some of this economic stuff, but I do believe that we have very little control over this nation right now.
And the
lending institution that is bankrolling it is the Federal Reserve, who is backed by the IMF, who is... It all goes back down to the Jew bankers would be the simple term of it. But, you know, it seems
there's several mechanisms. You know, you got the World Bank, you got the International, Bank for Commerce and Credit International, BCCI, if you remember that scandal. And, of course, with BlackRock, they own both sides of the pensions in Mexico. So they're playing games with both sides. They own the companies.
Well, BlackRock is the bank then.
Yeah, well, if they've got half of the national debt, they're holding it. Who cares how much China has, 900 and some billion? They don't even have a trillion. China has 900 and some billion. They're just making them out to be a boogeyman. When you're talking about $30 trillion, what's 900 and some billion?
Exactly, but Mike, if we did somehow get control of this government again, couldn't we declare all this debt that's been accumulated during these last couple of regimes as an odious debt?
What would that do for the value of all that, though, and all these people that's invested in it, that would their financial portfolio would implode?
That's what's holding up the economy right now is all the entitlements. Everybody that's invested in the system is what keeps this system going.
You get both sides, the guns and the butter are both, they all want their perks. You know, the military-industrial complex wants their spending, and the welfare state and the Democrats want their spending. And so the spending spree that is D.C. continues perpetually, and it continues to expand. And so they're desperate to find something to back up this debt, and that would include Eastern Kentucky and this Wildlands corridor from Canada all the way to North Georgia and parts of Alabama, and fingers of it goes into North and South Carolina. And that land would be locked up with land use restrictions in exchange for the International Monetary Fund putting it in their asset sheet, right? In their that's what they would have a lien on, essentially, in order to loan D.C. more money. I think the only way that we could get out of this is to everybody just, you know, opt out of the voluntary servitude. And I think there's a couple of shows on RBN that's talked about different ways to do that, whether or not they work or not. That's another thing I've been looking at for nearly 30 years, is that how do you claim your national status and let go of that 14th Amendment privileges and immunities?
You listen to Roger Sales, Mike?
Yeah, I've listened to him. He seems
to get the most calls and the most response from the audience regarding that topic.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who claim you haven't changed any status, though. Even if you get a passport that says U.S. national on it, you haven't really changed your status. The IRS and the different government agencies, they don't care if you've got a passport that says U.S. national. They're going to still hold you to all the public law, policy, and obligations of a U.S. citizen. So I haven't found anybody. You know, he claims that he's had 11 years of no complaints. And then there's another show that's got somebody on here cost $1,600 for his process, and he's got all the, quote, technology to answer
that?
Every letter that comes from the State Department. So,
someone on RBN? This, is that what you're talking about? Or?
Yeah, on RBN. But the first time I heard about it was back in the mid-90s. So it was called Cancelatora, and you're supposed to be able to cancel all your contractual nexuses or whatever, you know, your adhesion contracts and all this stuff that you've entered into tacitly or silently, and you allow, you know, allow them to have this, these strings over top of your man upon the soil status, you know. You relinquish your status as a state citizen and you become a mere resident of Kentucky and a U.S. citizen, which is basically a non-merit employee of Congress. So whatever Congress passes, be it a resolution, anything that's not even really law, all this policy and stuff the bureaucracies promulgate into the Federal Registry, you're obligated to obey it all. And there's no way to keep up with it all.
Well, that's only as good as the ability to enforce it. I mean, you know, this government enforces most every one of the rules with fear and not necessarily with the capability of arresting everybody.
It's like Darth Vader in the dark side. What was that Peter Cushing's line from Star Wars? Fear will keep the loco systems in line.
Exactly. I mean, that's how they regulate. I mean, if you ever get audited by the IRS, most likely what'll happen is you'll get a phone call from some lady that's working at a desk in Memphis, Tennessee, and she's going to be talking about the last piece of information that you sent them and wondering why you don't send them more. And the argument will hopefully, as far as they're concerned, end in a commitment to make monthly payments. But for the most part, you know, the IRS isn't there to screw everybody, all the poor people. They're there to make the poor people that have jobs pay. And, you know, whatever little dab they can squeeze out of that, they do. But for the most part, I think they really like to squeeze corporations more than they do individuals.
Hey, we got another caller, James of Vancouver. Just a heads up. You can stay on, Mike, if you want.
Either way.
Yeah, you can hang on.
I don't know. What do you want to talk about, James? Is he on now?
Yeah, let's bring James up.
James, what do you want to talk about? We're talking about, can we trust anything that we're told? Can we trust, do we believe that if we can't quit sending money to the IRS, that they're going to come and arrest us and take everything we have?
Yeah, I think they've been known to do that. If you stop paying them, they send guys out to...
I think it has to be worth it for them to do it.
Right, they're not going to come audit you if they're used to not getting anything from you.
Yeah, you got to have quite a bit of money for them to really put the focus on you.
Have you guys ever
heard
of Trump's
law? If they can make a big enough example out of you, they will.
Yeah, I've heard that argument too, Mike, and I wouldn't doubt it. I've talked to my dad about this actually. He's said they'll make an example of you, and even if you don't have something, they'll spend money just to go after you. I don't know.
I don't think we're popular enough to have much of an example made out of.
Not yet, Fred. we're working on that.
I just remember what happened to RBN. I mean, For the People and Chuck Carter. I was like shocked. Like, wow.
There's a lot of new networks springing up right now. What about Talk Free? Or what is it? Speak Free?
I can't remember. But I know Giuseppe and Scorpio are on it.
Speak Free, I think... Fetso, what's his name?
I know you mentioned him.
Yeah, Fetso's gone to Speak Free too from Revolution Radio on Saturday mornings. He broadcast out of Riyadh, and I think he's gone out of Revolution Radio now. And I thought that he was going to come here to RBN, but he's on Speak Free. Who else is on Speak Free? Sam, do you know?
I'm not sure. I think it's Dave Gaharry and someone else's network, and it's fairly new.
Tell you what, it reminds me though of somebody taking a rubber mallet to a mirror and making it so fractionated that you can't see your reflection anymore, and the vampires aren't afraid to sneak up behind
you. What are you talking about, Mike? What are you?
That basically that there's so much out there that
Oh,
you know, nobody reaches a big significant audience anymore. So it's like the vampires aren't afraid to sneak up behind you because you ain't going to notice they don't have a reflection. Yeah. The mirrors are smashed. All mirrors in town.
As long as we're dependent on the asymmetrical information of the mainstream media, and as long as we continue discussing that narrative, we're going to be stuck on that. I mean, you know, but just like earlier, you were talking about reports from NBC. I don't trust NBC at all. If they tell you something, it doesn't matter. 1990 especially, we were getting lied.
They had you know, a much larger share of the audience. So the big three, you know, actually reached tens of millions of people in 1980. Now, CNN is lucky to have a few hundred thousand watching at any given time. 900,000 is considered a big audience for most cable channels now.
You know, Russell Brand, I listen to some of his pods every now and then, and he's got like 5 million people following him. There's a lot of people that have hundreds of millions of people following blogs, and it seems like everybody tempers their speech so that they won't be taken down off of whatever network, off of YouTube. And that's something we need to avoid if at all possible. RBN has never had
James
that issue.
James has been pretty quiet. What do you say, James?
I was going to say Warren Buffett and the Microsoft guy, Bill Gates, and a lot of these people, they use trust to put their money in. Okay, so 20 years ago, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates making a big deal how they're giving their money to charity. In a trust, you see. But what a lot of people don't know is I can be both the beneficiary and the trustee of a trust, see. And that's why they don't pay any taxes, right? And this is something that a lot of people might be interested in, is that if you set up a trust for a serious for a purpose, In the trust statement, that is the deed, in that document, you outline what this trust has been set up for. Like, I don't know, like the starving dogs in some city or something like that. And then you set up the deed according to that purpose, looking after the dogs or something like that. So you can drive around in a Mercedes-Benz. Well, yeah, that Mercedes-Benz is not mine. It's in trust. It's in the trust. It's for the dogs, see? And I take I take the dogs around, show people the dogs, and would you like to put money into my charity? See, this is how it all works.
I mean, is that similar to setting up a corporation?
Nope.
No?
No, corporation is different. You can tax a corporation, right? Because that corporation owns its assets, right? But in a trust, the ownership is gone.
An irrevocable trust is.
Yeah.
Well, no, it was set up. The case for the trust law is the Earl of Oxford's case, 1615. I had a gentleman in Cambridge, England, explain it to me. John Hopkins, University of Cambridge Law School. You can look them up, and there's a number of different trusts. They all operate the same way, and he explained the case. A guy won 500 pounds before he died, and he said to his girlfriend, the money is not mine, Doreen, it's ours. So when he died, the wife tried to take the 500 pounds away, saying it was part of his estate, but he had stated quite clearly that he and the girlfriend, it was our money, you see, and she was able to claim that. See, so that trust broke, in fact, everything else. So if you make up the trust first, then common law and statute have no power.
I've understood that Benjamin Franklin has trusts that are still operating today. Yeah.
That's a poor man's trust.
Ben knew that. Ben was a smart guy.
A poor man's trust is property that stays in the deceased family and is operated under the deceased name, isn't it? Isn't that a poor man's trust?
But it's trust law. Yeah, it's trust law, though. You know,
it's also shielded from being confiscated. Like if you get out there and get in a car wreck, you're not homeless just because the property is not in your name, but you might be a beneficiary of being able to live there. There's a movie called Night of the White Pants where that happens. This guy gets
Mike, you know all these movies. Mike, you must watch a lot of movies. Night of the White Pants?
Yeah, the guy that played Cornwallis in The Patriot. I can't remember the actor's name, but he goes sideways. He's this rich guy, and he goes sideways, and the short-haired black girl that was the spokesman for Ford, black-haired girl, she was also on Northern Exposure. She plays this really, she does a really good job.
What's her name? Jeff, what's her name? Turner.
Anyway, she plays this vindictive ex-wife who's trying to take everything the guy has.
Janine Turner.
Just
looked it up.
Yeah, something like that. She was the love interest of the doctor on Northern Exposure, spokesperson for Ford. Anyway, she's in this movie. It's amazing what a good vindictive character she plays. But he ends up with this his daughter's boyfriend, who turns out to be a drug dealer, at a meeting. And he's like, fine, you can take it all. What about the wine cellar? Let her have it. You take it all. And what about the house on such and such street? Take it all. And he's just going sideways with it. And then the boy says, wait a minute. I don't think you can do that. Of course I can. It's my house. And he says, no, it's an irrevocable trust. And it was set up for his autistic daughter. And that saves the whole family from becoming homeless in the end.
Right.
Because she can't take it.
Right.
So it's a layer of protection, and the smaller estates really need that. They don't teach this stuff in churches. There's all kinds of financial stuff that's in the Bible, and they don't teach it in churches, and a lot of the Christian world suffers because they don't understand some of the just basic stuff that we all need to do to protect what we've accumulated.
And protect ourselves from what, the IRS?
You get in a car crash and your insurance doesn't cover the damages. You're not homeless because your house is in a trust. You know, that kind of thing.
If you don't have insurance, the odds of being sued are slim and none.
Well, no, you can be sued for more than the value of your insurance.
Right. If you've got money to pay attorneys, you're true. That's true. But if you have to pay an attorney to sue somebody that may end up with a lien on property, you're going to have to pay out of pocket to sue somebody.
There's leeches that will take cases based on, they go for the deep pockets first. Like, I know this guy that would wreck the truck, and the first thing they did was they went after the insurance company for the paving company he worked for. I forget the name of it, something, G&L Paving. So they went after that insurance company. And then after that, in Kentucky, you have something like 2 years from the last check that the insurance company gives you to then turn around and sue the company and the driver.
You know, I'm involved in a lawsuit similar to that right now. And I can tell you that, it's all an argument between lawyers. And they can say anything they want. They can claim anything they want, and it boils down to who can get money out of the situation the fastest. If you don't have insurance, the only thing you can get is a lien on properties that you say that you've got to protect. But if you've got no insurance, you're going to have to pay an attorney to sue for that lien out of pocket. They're not going to pursue for a lien.
They can't put a lien on somebody that's not a defendant, and the house that you have in a trust is not able to be named as a defendant. It's not an asset or a liability to the person that hit somebody, a school bus full of children, and all of a sudden has $500,000 worth of medical bills to pay.
Well,
your house is not in your name. You may be able to live there, but it could be in a family limited partnership or something else. Am I far off there?
I understand what you're saying. All I'm saying is that if you never probate a will, if you keep the property in a 100-year-old deceased person, and you maintain possession and operation of that property, how do they track that down?
You're an heir to the estate. All they have to do is put a lien against your shares, and once you have a majority of the shares in an estate, you can sue for it to be sold by the sheriff. You got it. I've seen that happen. So that's why you put it into a trust, and you know everybody has to agree that has an interest in that estate before you have an incident like this. And then there's a 5-year look-back period, so you can transfer stuff, and there's a 5-year look-back period.
Hey, Mike, let's take a break a second. This is Captain Fred, and we have Mike in Kentucky. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Welcome back, folks. This is Captain Fred. You're listening to The Fifth Dimension today. We have Mike in Kentucky, and we have James in Vancouver. And, you know, we're just talking about a little bit of everything. But I think basically it comes down to what we want to believe is reality. I mean, if we take our information from the asymmetrical information of the mainstream media, then we really don't do ourselves any favors as far as credibility. I mean, if I say that I heard on CBS that this happened, or if I heard on CNN this other thing happened, how much of reality can we depend on? I mean, is that real? I mean, if we believe that the IRS will swoop down and put us all in debtor prison if we hold back a dime for anything, I mean, that's all that's necessary. It's like massive. If like weather control, if we believe that they can control the weather, then we give them that power. And I don't think that that's really healthy for us myself. I don't think they can. I think that their abilities are limited to making us believe whatever they want us to believe. Is that too much?
What do you think, James? That James?
Well, I think that the laws of physics prevail in these kinds of questions. For example, if you look at a 110-story building with 100,000 tons of steel keeping it up there, and you have an airplane that goes in one side and right out the other, what is the impact of that airplane on that building?
Right.
When you calculate the impact, and there's a calculation for impact, you will come out that the impact for an airplane going in and out of that building is zero. Okay? There's no stress on that building at all, really. Okay? And it didn't move. It's like if you play pool. You play pool, yeah, and you're shooting the shooter ball against some ball. Have you ever seen the shooter ball go through the second ball and the second ball just sit there? No, because there's a transfer of momentum, okay? So there's an impact. When you hit one pool ball with another pool ball, you've got an impact. But when something goes in and out right away, like shooting a 5.5 millimeter, say, through a slab of butter, there's no impact. See?
Well, I've never shot my butter before, but...
Well, yeah, don't shoot your butter.
Well, all I'm saying is that we get, yeah. We, you know, I'm speaking from the standpoint of a recreational liar. I mean, if it's so easy now to lie to people that it's just not even sport anymore. I mean, if you can start out with any kind of tale that gets anybody's interest and you modify it however you want, it's incredible. Right. The amount of bullshit you can tell people nowadays, and they swallow it every bit. I think that the country, the world, has been indoctrinated to believing whatever you're told on the media. And I think that as long as we argue that narrative, we become part of that narrative. I mean, if we argue pro or con.
Well, we got a couple other calls coming in, so...
Well, James, what do you think? You want to listen to somebody else's viewpoint?
Mike and James, you... Couple parting words
here. Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I say one more thing? Yeah, you got to put your assets in trust before the IRS comes for you, okay? Or before you get sued. That's very important. The trust has to be established first.
Well, you got a five-year look back, though.
All right.
Before the break, I was trying to mention that. In Kentucky, there's a five-year look back period.
Right. The five-year look back is a problem with the trust.
But not everywhere maybe has that rule. See? Like the example I'm thinking of, another example is the Guggenheims, okay? They put all their art in trust before someone tried to take it away from them.
Well, I think
anyway, I'll let you guys go.
I think Klaus Schwab had it correct. You will own nothing and be happy. If you can keep your assets as not yours, you'll be a lot happier is what you're trying to say. Keep it in a trust. Because basically, if whatever you have is put into a trust, then you don't technically really own it anymore. So, yeah, he's
right. But you can benefit from it. And you can, you know, keep you from basically being homeless if you're...
Right,
if you get into a situation, like if I called you a liar, even if, you know, and you sued me, you know, and I can't afford to go through to a jury trial, I might have to settle, you know. But if I settle and you can't get anything, there's an old joke, I think, about Ted Kennedy's cat. His cat bites this woman, and a lawyer finds out that it's Ted Kennedy's cat. So he's like, oh, I'll take the case. Yeah, the Ted Kennedy, right? Oh, okay. So she wins the case, and then they have a lawyer's conference, you know, and papers are thrown down. And a few minutes later, they look at the woman, and they say, ma'am, you can have the cat, because his limousine, his salary, everything he had was going into a trust, and he was just simply the beneficiary of that trust. So, ma'am, you can have the cat. But you have to set that up, and it has to be set up correctly. I was going to ask the guy there from New York if he'd heard of that. Because if you don't do this right, a judge can capture your trust. So yeah, you lose control of it. You no longer become the beneficiary. They can transfer the beneficiary, I think. So you have to – it's like used cars. You don't buy the first used car you see. You don't sit down – the first lawyer you sit down with, you don't hire him. You know, you got to get a range of opinions to see what to do. But the longer you wait, the longer the 5-year look-back period. And the rumor is it's going to go to a 7-year look-back period. If you end up in a nursing home,
right? Well,
you know, all I'm saying is because of estate recovery,
they can get you coming and going. It doesn't matter.
Maybe,
Mark.
Some people figure it out, though.
Mark,
I'll
listen.
Let you go.
I appreciate you calling in, Mike. Right. Good to talk to you again. Oh, you've got a couple of other callers.
Yeah, we got Richard in Washington. Has been home for a while.
Richard, how are you doing today? This is Captain Fred. What's going on? What's on your mind?
Well, I got some comments on the show so far, which has been great, and I'll give you a little background on myself. Basically, I pulled the plug in the late 70s after Nixon pulled the plug on gold and silver, and studying history, you know that that's the start of the end of that civilization. So when I did that, I investigated all this stuff that you've been talking about. I formed a trust. I found out the heirs of that, formed a corporation, found out the heirs of that. And the heirs are, you have to go through the legal system and you have to be represented by a lawyer. So
yes.
Right away, you're in deep trouble.
Yes, I agree with you. You're in trouble. Yeah. When you start working with lawyers to protect yourself, you've already submitted to it.
Well, that's it. You're in the system. So basically, in all the studies that I've been doing, and my studies include only one thing, and I call that objective reality, okay? If it's not objectively real, basically you're talking about subjective reality, which, you know, changes depending on who you're talking to. So in all my studies, there's one thing that I found out really controls everything we do today, and that's the UCC. Nobody talks about the UCC, but we're all under the UCC.
Right.
That's a Uniform Commercial Code.
Right.
And why nobody talks about it is because that, quote-unquote, allows you to escape the system. Every time you sign your name, you enter into a contract. Unfortunately, they never tell you what are the ramifications of the contract. And so what you want to do is when you sign your name, you write, without prejudice, UCC 1-308. And when you write those words, and I'll read this, the use of without prejudice UCC 1-308 in connection with any signature indicates that I have reserved my common law right not to be compelled to perform under any contract I did not enter into knowingly, voluntarily, and intentionally. And I do not accept the liability associated with the compelled benefit of any unrevealed contract or commercial agreement. And since we're under commercial law, basically that allows us the out that we need as an individual to escape the extent of the contract. And there's a little pamphlet kind of booklet called the UCC Connection, How to Free Yourself from Legal Tyranny. And it's based on the lectures of Howard Freeman. And that's how you want to approach everything. You know, somebody, quote-unquote, says, you know, some authority figure says, what's your name? You say, I'm one of the people, as represented in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. Well, no, that's not your name. Yes, that's my name. Well, what's your real name? Well, my real name is whatever your first name is. Mine is Gregory Freeman. Well, no, that's not your real name. I go, yes, that's my real name. They go, weren't you giving a name on the birth certificate? And you always have a birth certificate with you. You go, yes. I have a birth certificate. Here it is. Did you want to talk to the birth certificate, that fictional person, or did you want to talk to me? I'm a flesh and blood breathing person. If you want to talk to me, you're talking to Gregory Freeman. If you want to talk to the person that is this fictional person that does business with you and other agencies, I'll give you a certificate and a certified birth certificate, and you can talk to that all you want. And you do the same thing. You don't go approach the bar in the court. You stay outside the bar, and when they say the name that they're asking to appear, you give them the birth certificate. That's the name you requested, and here it is. It's an artificial person, but it's the one you're requesting, and it's the only person you can do business with.
You know, I have to agree with you. I remember there was we had a host on RBN here. Clint Richardson, wasn't it? Clint used to talk.
Oh, Clint was great.
Oh, man, he really described the fictional characters that were created by the legal system.
Corporation Nation was his show.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he described it better than just about anybody. And I have to agree with you. It's how we define ourselves more than anything else. I mean, if we define ourselves as part of that fiction, of course, we're already in the trap. But that's it.
It's not how you define it. It's how you present yourself to whoever's approaching you.
Right.
You create your jurisdiction. And that's the key, is the jurisdiction. And that's what Clint always said, you know, whose jurisdiction are you in? And what you want to do is stay out of their jurisdiction by creating a safeguard or a net around you that prevents their jurisdiction from approaching you.
Yeah, but how does that look? I mean, I don't know if
we have time to get into that.
What does it look like?
Two more callers, too.
Well, Richard makes a really good point on that. I think that's how we project ourselves. That really involves us or doesn't involve us. Huh. Hey, Richard, thanks for calling.
One last thing, if I can get that in.
Sure. Okay, go ahead.
My background is health. Everything they're doing to us in our bodies is proteins, okay? And one thing we don't get, because we're the only species that cooks our food, we don't get enzymes. If you can maximize your intake of proteolytic and pancreatic enzymes, you will prevent yourself from getting cancer and secondarily destroy all the protein substances that they're putting in our body artificially. That's the one protective thing us as individuals can do from a nutritional perspective that safeguards essentially our health. So have a great show, and I'll listen to the rest of it.
Thanks, Richard. I think you're right about that. Proteins are really important. Who we got?
We got two more callers. Let's get up. Mitchell in Tennessee.
Mitchell in Tennessee. Mitchell, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Yeah, we're talking.
I was listening to you guys talk, and I jotted down 13 points of interest as to why I consider the whole government system and everything illegitimate. Can I read them?
Let's hear that.
Number one, removal of the word property in the Declaration of Independence. Number two, constant breaching of the social contract. Number three, public duties doctrine of 1855, the police are not obligated to protect. This comes all the way up to the Uvalde situation. That dates back to a Supreme Court case and ruling back in 1855.
Right.
You can look it up. Number four, the 14th Amendment was not legitimate.
Right.
In 1868, I don't think the Southern states were allowed to vote. So that means that you didn't achieve popular sovereignty. So everything that these people are talking about, you know, the status and so forth based on the 14th Amendment, to be honest about it, the 14th Amendment is not legitimate. It shouldn't exist. If you want to be honest and fair about it. But let's go on to number five. The 16th Amendment is not legitimate. Let's see. Number six, in 1869, the secession case, Texas v. White, the 10th Amendment, it was a 10th Amendment violation. That shouldn't have gone to the Supreme Court per the language of the 10th Amendment. But they did it anyway. Let's see. Number seven, 1913 Fair Reserve Act. That was unconstitutional. Should have required an amendment. They did it anyway. Let's see, number 8, taking of the gold, 1933. Number 9, Vietnam was a false flag war. We know that now. The conscription that took place in 1969, that was an outright breach of the social contract and the failure to protect the unalienable rights of all those young kids that were thrown over there to be killed. I mean, that was failure to protect life, liberty, pursuit of property, happiness, and everything. Number 10, 9/11. I don't even need to go into that.
No.
You know, just the whole 9/11 false flag issue. Number 11, we have stolen election that half the country claims were stolen. Number 12, especially this is when you think about the religious right, 63 million murders of infants via abortion.
Yeah.
And where is the Christian right?
Well, what about
for 50 years, they've been continuing to go along with a government that agrees with...
I know what 13
infanticide,
is.
Infanticide... democide, and over a long time, over 50 years, that's called mass murder. And
right.
Let me just real quick, number 13, as you mentioned, I was just talking to a friend about this last night, so it's interesting that you brought it up, racking up an odious debt.
That's the
and
point.
So there it is. From 1776 to 2022, I've got 13 bullet points, and I've got about 50 of these, but this whole thing's not legitimate. Why don't we just throw it off?
Well, that's the point. That's the point. This odious debt they're accumulating is not our debt. This is an illegitimate government.
I think it's beautiful that you brought that up.
It's an illegitimate government, and it's issuing odious debt against the people of this nation. This government, you know, Mark Twain said once, I love my nation always. I love my government when it deserves it. And you know what?
I don't deserve it.
It doesn't deserve it.
And
that was another thing that we don't deserve. First of all, if we don't deserve the truth, then they're not going to tell us the truth. All right? We're going to have to start deserving being told the truth. And to do this, well, we need to start thinking about ourselves a little differently.
Well, let me say one other thing is that a lot of these people that you guys talk about, you know, Clint Richardson, Kelby Smith, Roger Sales, these people, Anna Von Rice, they talk about how you get out and get free from the system. But most of these people claim that we're being robbed. We the people are being violated. We're being tricked. It's deception. It's trickery, and it's fraud. And so what I want to know is, you can send in an affidavit and so on and so forth, but what about reimbursement? And by the way, who are these violators? Who are these that are violating we the people like this?
I think Mike in
Kentucky. And why are they not held accountable? Where is accountability? That's what I want to know.
I think Mike in Kentucky had a good comment when he said it was these Black Rocks. You know, it's these hedge funds. The three corporations that own everything in the world are our government. Oh, man, let's not get started there.
Yeah,
we've got a few minutes left.
Mitchell.
We've got a few minutes left, and we got one more caller.
Got two more callers.
Two more.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mitchell. We're going to
move on.
Thanks,
Mitch.
We got Murr in Wisconsin.
Murr, all right. How you doing, Murr?
Hi. Good. Yeah, I got all filled up with all of that, too. Let me shoot through this real quick, too. They are manipulating the weather. They're not controlling it. They can't control it. But just like liars, they just have to keep lying to try to keep it going.
Right.
Yeah. And DrJudyWoods.com, James kind of alluded, and also her book. She's the only one that laid out all the evidence there at 9/11. All of those buildings came down, not three. And as far as lumping everybody together, no, you can only really change your status in a feudal system, which we're in. And we've been bankrupt since 33, so we're enemies of the state. You can change your status from citizen to national. And about trusts in particular and all of that, Brent Winters at commonlawyer.com, and he's coming up next with Roger. So
good.
Thank you.
Yep,
bye-bye.
About to set him up. Thanks, Murr. we got one more.
One more call, Murr. Hey, thank you, girl. I'll talk to you later.
We got Samuel in California.
Samuel in California. This is Captain Fred. Tell us what's on your mind.
Hey, Captain Fred, love all you guys and all your input. Don't always agree with everything, but that's life. Fraud is not fraud until it's discovered, Mitch. And the American people are just starting to figure that out. Even though you may have known it a long time, most don't. And if you remain being a citizen and a feudal slave, you need to listen to Roger's show next. That's all I got to say.
I think that's all that needs to be said. You know, sometimes the topic wanders around here on the fifth dimension a little bit, but today we've hedged a little bit on a lot of different topics, and I'd like to say thank you all the callers that called in. Thank you the RBN listeners. And I'm here at the studio right now sitting at John Stadtmiller's desk and on his microphone, and I feel inspired somehow to get you guys to send some money. These kids that are trying to keep this network alive need your support. And whatever you can afford to send RBN, please do, because they're struggling to keep this network open. If this one goes down, we've lost something very, very wonderful. And that's I guess that's all I need to say. There's different links, I guess. You can go to the website to see how to send donations. And if you've got a few bucks, please help this network out. This is Captain Fred. We'll talk to you again next week. Later on, guys.
I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.